death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And I want to stop my reading there, having read from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22, the end of the chapter. What I want to talk to you about here for a little while today, and what the Lord has placed upon my heart, I certainly believe to be Bible doctrine. And this has been, throughout the years, this has been Baptist doctrine. I want to speak to you today about something that we're going to be observing in our service here this morning. You can see that the lights are on in the baptistry, that the water is in the baptistry, that we are getting ready here in a little while to administer the ordinance of baptism. I want to speak to you today about what I believe the Bible teaches me about water baptism. I believe that it's extremely important that the Lord did not leave this ordinance of baptism with his church for something to pass the time. Baptism, what its purpose is and what it represents, are very, very important. It's a very special, unique ordinance. I believe, and have told you before, that I believe that the ordinances that the church administers from time to time, that being baptism and the Lord's Supper, I believe that, in fact, I'm convinced that both of these ordinances are pictorial. They are symbolic. They both paint a picture, a beautiful picture, or a symbol of something every time that they are administered and observed. We know that, and are plainly taught in the Scriptures, that when we observe the Lord's Supper, that when we use the elements, the bread and the wine, that they represent the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They represent his body and his blood. They're not literally his body and his blood, but they are symbolic of his broken body and his shed blood. And the ordinance of baptism, every time that we administer and observe this ordinance, it is also symbolic of something. And I want to speak to you about that today. Let's look for a few moments, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but let's look for just a few moments about what the Apostle Peter wrote here. He was speaking about those in the antediluvian world, those who lived in the days of Noah, and the disobedience that existed among them. And he spoke about how that the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. You know, God hasn't changed, and God today is still long-suffering. He is long-suffering. The Apostle Peter said, He is long-suffering to usward. He was long-suffering in the days of Noah when he waited that 120 years while God waited, while the ark was being built, was being prepared. The long-suffering of God waited in those days. And the long-suffering of God is waiting in this day. Because Peter said that he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But in the days of Noah, when the long-suffering of God waited while the ark was preparing, and the Apostle Peter said, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Now, this is really, to me, this is some very interesting scripture. I will say this, there's a lot of differing opinions about what the Apostle Peter said here. But I want to say this today, and there are in the world today, and there have been for many, many years now within the religious realm, there are people that I believe have a wrong view of what water baptism is really about, what its purpose really is. And I know that and have learned this, that when somebody is determined to believe something, they can believe it. I mean, when someone is really determined to believe something, they can take the scriptures and they can bend them and they can twist them and they can shape them into what they want to say. But that's not the way to study the Bible. We are not to take the Word of God and conform the Word of God to what we want to believe. We are to conform our beliefs to what the Word of God says, what the Word of God teaches. And so there are people, many people, that certainly disagree with what I believe about water baptism. But I'm going to tell you something, and many of you here today, you're going to know what I'm talking about. It is really understood. I'm convinced that all the teaching in the scriptures about water baptism is best understood by those that have been born again by the Spirit of God. Not just from a scriptural standpoint, but it's best understood by those that have been born again by the Spirit of God. You know why? Because we all know that there was something that happened to us before we went in the water. We know that. We have experienced that. We have an experimental knowledge. And we know that something took place in our heart. We know that there was a change wrought in our heart by the power of God before we ever got wet in the ordinance. Amen, Brother Strode? We know that, don't we? We know that happened. And so the Apostle Peter here said, spoke about the long-suffering God waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. And I find it interesting that the Apostle Peter wrote here in these scriptures and said that there were eight souls saved by water. Why did he say that? I mean, we know that that was the purpose of the ark. We know that that's why that God had instructed Noah to build the ark, that it might provide sanctuary for those who were ready to escape the flood. So why didn't the Apostle Peter write and say that wherein there were few, that is eight souls, were saved by the ark? I mean, that's where they were really safe, isn't it? When they went into the ark, they really had safety. When they went into the ark, they found shelter and sanctuary from the rains and from the fountains of the deep when they were broken up. But what did the water do? When they went into the ark, did not the water raise it? It raised the ark, and it gave it sail, and it transported the ark. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I believe today, and I'm not convinced and never have been convinced. Some people are, and you may look at this differently. But I don't know that what Peter was saying here was that he was actually saying, I believe that he was using what happened during the flood and what happened with the ark, that he was using it as an example. I really don't believe that the flood waters were a type of the New Testament ordinance of baptism. I don't think that it was ever intended to be that. The way that the animal sacrifices, the things that happened at the tabernacle, were intended to be a type of the sacrifice that was to come. And of course, Christ being the antitype. But the Apostle Peter was simply using what had happened in the days of Noah. And he was making a point, the same as the Apostle Paul did. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in the first couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 1, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, in the Old Testament, there was no such thing yet as the ordinance of baptism. It didn't exist yet, because the church did not yet exist. And so the ordinance of baptism had not been given yet. But I'm going to tell you something that I do believe about baptism, and I don't want to, I certainly don't want to make hypothetical situations, but if baptism would have ever been required for the remission of sins, then I believe that baptism would have been performed in the Old Testament the same as it would be today. Because God has never changed. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So the ordinance of baptism was not yet in existence. It did not yet, was not yet used in the days of the Old Testament. And yet we read in these verses that the children of Israel were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Well, how were they baptized? And I really don't, honestly, I don't think it was having reference to Moses proper. I believe it was what Moses represented under that covenant. The law, the obedience to the law and the things that existed under that covenant is what they dedicated themselves to. That's how they were baptized unto Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. And those of us today that are baptized, we are not baptized directly into the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but through baptism we make a public profession that we are going to honor the Christian system. We are going to carry out the things that Christ has commanded us to do. We're not baptized into His person. Let me read these verses here from Romans chapter 6. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now listen to this. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death." Now, the Scriptures plainly teach us that baptism is a burial. It's a burial. That's the symbolism of baptism, that it is first a burial. Now, you can go over here to the cemetery, and you can walk through the cemetery, and you'll find out that everybody that has brought their loved ones that are deceased over there to bury them, they completely put them under the earth or in the tomb. You can't see them. You can't see them. They didn't say, you won't go over there and find anybody that said, I want you to bury them with their arm left out or with their head left out. They buried them completely under the water. And folks, listen, I'm saying today that baptism, by its even by the meaning of the word, baptism is not baptism unless you put that candidate all the way under the water. It's not baptism. To baptize, baptizo, is to immerse someone in water. It is a burial. And what did Paul say here? Notice the language. Therefore, we are buried how? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. With him. Friends, listen. A person that's truly, scripturally being baptized, when they go into the water to be baptized, they are already with him. If you're not with him when you go in, you won't get with him when you get in there. We are buried with him by baptism into death. And so when we bury people, if we bury people naturally, it's because a death has taken place. If we bury somebody symbolically, it's because a death has taken place. Those that if a person is going to be qualified to receive scriptural water baptism, they are going to have to be somebody that has died to sin, not living in sin. If they're still living in sin, then you're burying somebody alive. They have died to sin. Folks, listen, when I went into the waters of baptism, and I'm thankful for my baptism meant something to me. It meant a great deal to me. But when I went into the waters of baptism, I had already died to sin, and I went in there with Christ and was buried with him in baptism. I'm afraid today that a lot of our own people don't take their baptism very seriously. I'm afraid that I think oftentimes, and I don't say this to hurt anybody's feelings, I'm just telling you the truth. I believe it's obvious that there have been people that I have been privileged to baptize during my time here as your pastor at Fairview Memorial that didn't take their baptism very seriously because they came before the church and they gave testimony of passing from death unto life and made their desire known to unite with the church, and we took them into the water and we baptized them. And where are they? Where are they? They're not here. We come here from week to week and we gather to worship and they're not here. And it's obvious to me that many people, I'm afraid perhaps that some just want to be baptized because they think that's what they ought to do. You know, the Bible says be baptized, so they think they'll be baptized. But listen, when we come forth and we are scripturally baptized, we are making a commitment to the Lord and to his church. Baptism is a public testimony of what has already taken place in our hearts. We are saying to the world, I'm going to be different. We are saying to the world, I'm not going to live my life anymore. Sin is not going to control my life anymore. I'm not going to live after the old man anymore. I'm going to take that old man and I'm going to symbolically bury him here in the water. And bless your heart, when I come up out of the water, I'm going to be ready to walk in newness of life and live in a different way than what I lived before. Baptism is serious, folks. It's serious. It's a serious, serious ordinance. You come up, if you come up to the, you come to the waters of baptism, and you, by your own desire, you unite with the church through baptism because it is prerequisite to church membership. It is. You don't get into the church without being baptized. Jesus gave us the order, didn't he? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What's that mean? Disciple them. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Listen, we make disciples and we baptize disciples. We don't baptize them to make them that, do we? We go forth, through the preaching of the gospel. The church goes forth and she makes disciples. And then she takes those disciples and she baptizes them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then those disciples that have been baptized and become members of the church, then the church teaches them to observe all things that the Lord has commanded. But the problem is too often that someone becomes a disciple and they submit to water baptism, and before you can teach them anything, they're gone. They're gone. That's sad, I think. That's sad. The whole package isn't being done that way. We need to be saved. We need to be baptized, and then we need to learn the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter said, the like figure, going back to what happened in the days of Noah, going back to what happened with the ark, where Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives, eight people, went into the ark. The fountains of the deep were broken up. The rain began to fall. The water began to lift the ark. Listen to this, folks. The floodwaters cannot, in no wise, the floodwaters could never be a type of baptism. You know what the biggest problem would be? If you go back to the days of Noah, everybody got in the water, died. They died. The water drowned them. Life was lost in the water, not saved. The only thing the water did, as I said, there was lift up the ark and give transportation to the ark. Inside the ark is where the safety was. Everybody outside of it, everybody in the water, listen, they got immersed, sure enough. They didn't survive it. They died in the water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And I love the way that the Apostle Peter put this in. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Folks, let me ask you something today. If baptism cannot even put away the filth of the flesh, how in the world would it ever put away the filth of the soul? That wouldn't make any sense, would it? Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's not just the purpose of baptism is not just for some type of outward cleansing or ceremonial ritual. There's a much greater purpose behind it in that. But it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it is the answer of a good conscience toward God. The answer of it. It allows somebody to answer the good conscience that they have been given toward God. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know what happened to us when we were saved? We experienced resurrection. We experienced a spiritual resurrection. That old man died to sin, and Jesus quickened us by His Spirit, and He gave us life. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in his writing to the Ephesians. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And so in salvation we experience a spiritual resurrection. In baptism we symbolize the Lord's resurrection. In baptism we symbolize His burial,
when we put the candidate under the water and we symbolize his resurrection when we bring them out. And brother and sister LaCofta, today, if I'm able to do my job, I'm going to put you under and I'm going to bring you out as well. If I don't bring you out, we're in trouble. If I don't bring you out, it's not completed, is it? It's not completed. We go down into that liquid grave, symbolizing that death to sin, and we come out of it, and we testify to the world that we're going to walk in newness of life. Amen. Newness of life. That's what it is. I will stand on that until I draw my last breath. That's exactly what I believe water baptism does. It symbolizes the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a symbol to usward. It is a symbol of what has already taken place in our soul. That's my belief. I'll stand on that till God's finished with me as a minister. I don't believe that God ever intended baptism to be that which literally saves anybody. Amen. The Apostle Peter, when he went to preached the gospel to the household of Cornelius, he said, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, that whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And there's nothing between remission of sins and faith. That's it, isn't it? What did the Hebrew writer say? He said, "We believe to the saving of the soul." It's through faith, through that unfeigned faith, that faith that trusts in, relies on, and clings to Jesus Christ as Savior, is what saves us from our sins. I know there's so much more that could be said, but we need to move on. And I'm going to ask brother and sister LaCofta if they would to come and go and prepare for baptism.